Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Numbers 23:19, last session we talked, and I love the NIV translation, how it says, God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. How many of you know a liar? Just raise your hand. If you don't know one, you are one. We've all lied. How many of you know someone that changes their mind like Texas changes weather? You know, there's a chance of snow this coming weekend and next week in San Antonio in the Hill Country. It's not going to snow, guys. So come to church on Sunday. Everything's going to be all right. If you don't like the weather in Texas, just wait 5 minutes for it will change. But we know a lot of people like that. But I don't want us to put the discrepancies or the limitations of people on our God. God is not like man. God is not like us. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that was, the God that is, the God that shall be. That's who our God is. Then the writer of Numbers says, does he speak and then not act? It's a rhetorical question, meaning every time he's spoken, it's come to pass. Does he not promise and not fulfill? Everything God has promised, he will fulfill. That scripture is a promise about the promisor. It's a promise about the promise. It's a guarantee on the guarantee. We also talked last session that God does not move the finish line. What God has always said is enough is still enough today. I am here to tell you that some of you are one prayer away from your life transforming. You are one act of obedience away from your life transforming. You are one faith act away from your life transforming. If God's word never changes and we want our situation to change, then we must change. The possession process is why most people quit. It's not that they don't want it. It's not that they don't want it bad, but they're not willing to do what it takes to possess. But I'm here in the middle of great faith-filled people, and I know some are watching online tonight that you aren't going out like that. You are a faith people, not just a faith-talking people, but a faith-walking people, not just giving lip service to God, but literally obeying him every day of your life. We must know that possessing the promise is tough, but it is possible. It's not for the weak-hearted. It's not for the weak-minded. It's not for the spiritual vacillators that are going from one thing to the next, up and down, tossed, James says, by winds that are contrary and doctrinal winds that change us. We must know that giants occupy the land that occupies the promise. Let me say this. Giants occupy the land that occupies the promise. Here's the thing, and we talked about this last session. Some of us want a life void of giants, but remember, the land that God is leading Israel into is a land that flows with milk and honey and has grapes the size of basketballs. The reason the grapes are giant is because there's giants in the land. I don't mind giants being there before I get there because giants are building big houses that we're going to live in, big cities that we're going to live in. They're preparing tables that we're going to eat at. Let me tell you, the biggest blessing of your life is because it was a giant that brought that blessing into being, but they're not going to enjoy that blessing. You're going to enjoy that blessing, but you have to realize I've got to fight a giant to possess the promise. There's giants in the land, knowing that giants occupy the land that occupies the promise, you will have giants to slay if you're going to possess. And we finally ended last session talking about understand that you are not just taking possession for you. It is a generational faith. It's for you and your children's children. What we possess today, church, our children will live in tomorrow and our grandchildren the next day. But realize that it is not going to be handed over to us, that you are going to have to fight the fight of faith. Remember, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. God didn't deliver you from Egypt, keep you safe in the wilderness, feed you in the wilderness, deliver you into the promised land just for you to see the promise and not possess the promise. But what God is depending on the people of God to do is to rise up as believers, to rise up as mature disciples of Christ and say, God, you did the impossible so that I can stand here in this moment and do the possible. So there's giants to fight. We fight giants to possess the land. Illustrated in the Bible perfectly is King David. Before he was king, there was a fight. Before he was king, there was a Goliath. David fought Goliath so that he could possess the position as king. If you don't want to fight, you're never going to possess. If you're not willing to wage war on the enemy, you're never going to possess what God has called you to possess. And remember, this is not a physical war. This is a holy war. That's why you and I have to know how to pray, how to worship. That's why it's more than just showing up to church once or twice a week. David fought Goliath so he could possess his position as king. Listen to this and write this down. Behind every giant in your life is something to possess. Behind every giant in your life is something to possess. Giants either build fear or they build faith. When a giant shows up in your Thursday, it's going to do one of two things. You are either going to have fear unleashed in your life because of the size of the giant in front of you, or you are going to have faith released in your life because you know on the other side of that giant is a promise from God that the devil is doing everything he can do to keep me from. And so this giant, like the last dozen giants, is going to fall. And I don't mind fighting this one because I'm looking around him and over him because I know God has something great on the other side. Can I encourage somebody's faith today? Giants should excite you because this giant is going to go down just like the last giant did. And every time a giant shows up, I know I'm getting ready to level up and be promoted. I know I'm getting ready to see the promise that I've only prayed about. I know I'm getting ready to hold in my hands and embrace and possess what God has promised. Giants don't scare me, they inspire me. Because I know there's something on the other side. Turn to your neighbor and tell them there's something more. Every time I see a giant, fear is not there. Faith is there. My family has fought giants before. My family has slayed giants before. And we don't fight to fight. We fight to slay. We fight to possess. Praise God. I train so that I am ready to fight. And I fight so that I am ready to possess. If you can possess it without a fight, you're possessing the wrong thing. If you can possess it without a fight, you are focused on the wrong thing. If you can possess it without a fight, it ain't for you. If you can possess it without a fight, it's a distraction from the thing that God really wants you to possess. If you said this was too easy, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Nothing comes easy. Nothing worth happening is not worth fighting for. And so if you have possessed it without fighting for it, you should check it because you were never supposed to take it. It's like the thieves that end up with the bag of money from the bank. And when they open that bag, it explodes in their face. Too easy. Some of us want an easy life, but an easy life does not make a promised life. An easy life does not make a possessing life. You say, man, this sounds like some doom and gloom. Listen, I don't mind fighting when Jesus is fighting with me and fighting from me and fighting for me. It is a fixed fight. I don't mind fighting when I know that God goes before me. I don't mind fighting when I know his spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is in me. That when I swing the sword, it's not Brandon swinging the sword. When I sling the stone, it's not David slinging the stone. If you can possess it without a fight, you're possessing the wrong thing. Fighting and possessing are not synonymous. They are not the same thing, but they are part of the same process. Listen to what I'm about to say and take these notes. This is why so many believers don't have what they declare. See, there's a lot of us that we stand on the word of God and we say things like, I'm calling those things that are not as though they are. And we start calling these things and declaring these things, but we don't see those things. This is why many believers have unanswered prayers. This is why many believers are walking around property, laying hands on houses, laying hands on cars, and they still don't own them. Because many people have tried to possess something they're not willing to fight for. You cannot possess it if you're not willing to fight for it. The fight is what brings glory to God. The fight is what builds your faith. The fight is what gives you a testimony that you can lean on and stand on 10 years from now. You can say, there was a giant in March of 2023, and I didn't just go to church and say God was going to do it. I made sure Monday through Saturday, I was doing everything I could do to make sure that when I fought, that giants fell so that I could possess. Many have tried to possess something they are not willing to fight for. Let me tell you what your fight shows, church. Your fight shows you're serious. We do live in a generation where people fight over silly things, but they're not willing to fight for their faith. The fight shows you're serious. The fight shows you're invested. Are you invested in the process of possessing the promise? Are you invested in God's plan? Are you invested in God's purpose? Church, in this room tonight, there is so much potential. There are so many promises that have not yet come to manifestation physically. But I am here to tell you, I hope that the final message in this series unleashes something in this church and in this ministry, but most importantly, in believers that are in the room and watching online today, that you made an investment because you believe that whatever God has promised you is worth fighting for. One of the reasons I keep fighting is it's not just for me and the 60 years I have left on this earth. I'm fighting for my children and my children's children. I'm fighting for a generation. I'm fighting for a city. I'm fighting for everything that God has promised. Your fight shows, church, that you're built different. You're not like other believers. You're not fair weather faithful people. You are not people that praise God in the good moments but disappear and wilt in the tough moments. You are built different. You are built for a fight. You were built for a storm. You are built for a valley. Do not let anybody talk you out of the promise. Do not let anybody talk you out of possessing what God has called you to lay your hands on just because there are difficult moments. You will outlive the season of adversity that you are facing if you put your faith in Christ and stand on His word. Your fight shows that this is more than just words. It's more than a declaration. They say, put your money where your mouth is. It's time that we put our fist where our mouth is. It's time that we put our sword where our mouth is. It's time that we put our worship where our mouth is. Come on, church. It's time that we put our prayer where our mouth is. Not just talk, but walking out in obedience. Your faith shows the value in what you're fighting for. If there's no value, don't fight. There are fights that we walk away from every day. When you were younger, all someone had to do was call you a name. Talk about your mama. Now we're older, talk about your spouse. There's a lot of things that when we get mature and the same things we used to fight about, we say, there's no value in me fighting because nothing is going to change. But can I encourage you, like Paul, when he said, I have fought the good fight, I have kept my faith, I have finished my course. What he's saying is everything God called me to possess, I have possessed. Which leads me to this point for everyone in the room from 14 to 94. If you are still living and breathing on this earth, there is still land to possess. There is still something that God wants to show you, that God wants you to be a part of, that God wants you to put your hands on. Why? Because I believe when I have finished my course like Paul, I believe what he's really saying is everything that God called me to possess, I possessed. Everything that God called me to do, I did. And when he stood before God, he got to hear what we should all strive to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful and good are those that possess the promises of God. So the question is what is left to possess? That is an answer that only God can give you. Your fight shows the value in what you are fighting for. If we don't have to fight for it, what makes us think we'll fight to keep it? If we don't fight for it, why do we think we'll fight to keep it? Anything worth having is worth fighting for. Anything of value is worth fighting for. But once you get it, you're going to have to fight to keep it. See, when you wake up in the morning, listen, hopefully you're going to go to bed with some joy tonight, with some peace tonight, with some power tonight. But tomorrow, guess what? There's going to be phone calls and emails and people that are going to test your patience and come against you. And you're going to have to not fight them. You're going to have to fight to keep your peace, because there's always going to be crazy people. You're going to have to fight to keep your joy, because there's always going to be depressing people. You're going to have to fight to keep your spirit, because there's always going to be an antichrist spirit around you that's trying to rob you of everything that God. And so if I fight for joy, I'm going to have to fight to keep my joy. If I fight for peace, I'm going to have to fight to keep my peace. You don't get it and it just stays forever. You've got to fight every day for it. And remember, it is generational, which leads me to these three verses. Psalm 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." God's love for us is generational. God's faithfulness to us is generational. There's two things I want to pick out of these first two statements. God's love for us, God's faithfulness to us. They are both generational. That means when God did what he did by sending his son to die on a cross, he proved his unconditional love to us. And can I encourage somebody watching online or in the room today? There is nothing you can do that will change how God feels about you. He loves you. Can I go all the way back to one of our first texts today? God is not a human. He does not lie. God is not a human. He does not change his mind. What you did last night, last month, last year does not change the way God feels about you. He loves you, and he loves you enough to stay right here saying, "Listen, if you're ready, I'm ready. And when you come to me, I will change everything about you." But check this out. His love for us doesn't end with us. He was able to say, prophetically, David said, his love endures forever and his faith goes to all generations. He was able to prophesy this word, listen, church, before Jesus ever took a earthly form of man on this earth, which means this, that before Jesus came, God was already talking about us and our children and our children's children. Now it is up to us that have received the love. How many of you have received the love of Jesus Christ? How many of you reciprocated that love? And with your life, you've said, "Jesus, I love you too, and I will follow you, and I will serve you." Now check this out. If you really love God, you won't keep it to yourself. Now it's not about possessing the love of God. I know you've got it. You know I've got it, but now we turn to the next generation and say, "That God loved me so much that when I was addicted, when I was messed up, when I was covered in sin, he rescued me." And guess what? He loves you the same way. And I'm here so that you can meet him, because his love endures forever. His love is enough for me, but it's enough for you and your children and your children's children's children. But if we don't talk about that love, it dies with us. Christianity is always on the brink of extinction. One generation that does not talk about Jesus is enough to make sure that no one else hears about Jesus. I am here to tell you, as long as Living Way is here, we will always boast of the love of God for us and the faithfulness of God to us. Because when I said yes and I love you too, I haven't always been faithful to him. But even in my lack of faithfulness, check this out, church. When I quit being faithful, he's still faithful. In times where my actions said something different than my words, and I said, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. But I didn't spend any time with him that week until I came to church on Sunday. Even when my love was not being pushed towards him, his love was still radiating towards me. His love for us, his faithfulness to us. See, that's why we do what we do, church. And when I say we, I'm not talking about Living Way, I'm talking about believers. That's why we fight the way we fight. That's why we take a stand against abortion. That's why we take a stand against the confusion and the identity crisis and sexuality, and people are changing pronouns and all of these things. That's why we take a stand and say, you can manipulate and change things as much as you want, but God's word is still the same. He loves you, but he loves you so much that he will not leave you like he finds you. He wants to change and transform you so that you can look like him and be what he's called you to be. That's why we fight the fight that we fight. I am preaching. I am fighting for my great-great-grandchildren that I will never meet, so that they can sit in a building like this, so they can love a Jesus like we love every day of the week. God's love for us, God's faithfulness to us. Luke chapter 1, verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Remember, God's love for us, God's faithfulness to us. But I'm grateful for God's mercy on us. I'm glad that I can testify to my family that when I was messed up, when I was wrong and doing wrong, that God didn't just wipe me out and say, let's try again with another young man. But he gave me mercy. And this is what God knows about my flesh. He said, one dose of mercy on Salvation Day is not enough. And so guess what, Brandon? When you wake up every morning, I've cooked a brand new pot of mercy for you. And it is fresh every single morning. You've got fresh mercy to apply to whatever you have done. He has loved us. He has given his faith to us, and he has shown mercy on us. But this is something worth fighting for. This is something worth believing for. This is something worth, on a Wednesday night, you leaving everything you left to come here today. And at the end of this service, if all you can say is, God, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I am grateful for your mercy. You have done more than most believers in the world today, because you have proven it's not a Sunday fight, and it's not a Monday fight, and it's not just a Wednesday fight. It's an every day. I'm going to fight for the promises of God. I'm going to fight to get them, but I'm going to fight to keep them. Then I'm going to fight to keep them in such a way that I can pass them on to everybody that God puts in my path. Got one more verse to read to you today. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. I love this. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Going all the way back to our original text, Moses tells Joshua, that mountain right there, that mountain chain, all of that hill country, that is yours. He is not offering this to Caleb. He's telling Caleb, this is yours. God is not making us an offer. God is telling us what is ours. He is commanding in this moment, Joshua, that is your mountain. Do whatever it takes to possess it. And here in Genesis 22, it said, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. This is not an either or. This is not an option one, two, or three. God did not say, here's a mountain. If you want it, you can go get it. He said, that's your mountain, and I expect before the last beat of your heart, you better possess that, and you better do something with it, because out of your obedience in this moment, the nations of God, the people of God, the next generations are going to be blessed. Stand on your feet tonight. Possession, church, takes continual possessing. Possession takes continual possessing. The first day is usually the easiest day. How many of you can rewind the clock back to the day you said yes to Jesus? Raise your hand. That was a great day, right? I've seen some people, I mean, their countenance changed. I saw a well-known entertainer that has had severe problems the last 30 years. But I saw a minute video on social media, and he was talking about the suffering that he went through. And then he turned it and started talking about the suffering that Jesus went through on the cross. I've heard this guy mock God. I've heard this guy use the worst language you can imagine. But I saw something different in his face. I saw a man who's now been delivered, who's had an experience with Jesus. And I remember the day I said yes to Jesus. Great day. Red letter day. I thought, man, if every day's like this for the rest of my life, you better watch out, world. But then the giants started showing up. I didn't know it was going to be like this. Come on, you remember your wedding day? How exciting that was? You remember your wedding night? Oh, we won't go there. Okay. You remember how excited you were in that moment? Only for 6 years later, the divorce word's being thrown around. Can't pay your light bill. You found some messages on social media in her account, in his account, and now it's hard. Why? Because getting married was the easy part. That was possessing a certificate saying you're married. Staying married is hard. To hold on to marriage is hard. You're showing that positive pregnancy test, and hopefully that was an exciting moment for you. It was for Mandy and I. We were excited. Fast forward 13, 14 months, and you've got dirty diapers stacking up. You've got ER visits in the middle of the night. Come on now. Fast forward 10 years, you're getting calls from the principal. Come on now. You're going through their phones, finding things that shouldn't be on their phones. Come on now. My kids aren't perfect. I'm not telling you hypotheticals. I'm telling you reality of what we went through. And now it's no longer, wow, we're having kids. Now we're scratching our heads saying, God, what do we do? You promised this, but we're seeing this. God said, just be faithful in the process. What you had to do to get the promise, keep doing to keep the promise, which is fight the good fight of faith. I want to open this altar right now, and it's very, very easy for you tonight. I'm going to make it very, very easy. If you are ready to fight like you've never fought before, if you will take the next 9 months of your life and say, God, for these next 9 months, I'm going to fight the fight of faith like I never have before.